The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace.
Enroll Alabama is a project of AIDS Alabama. For more information, visit the website AIDSAlabama.org. Welcome to another episode of the Healthy Alabama podcast, sponsored by AIDS Alabama, a great organization on the front lines of trying to prevent the spread of this horrible disease that has taken so much from so many. We are produced in partnership with WJOU, Oakwood University Radio, Praise 90.1 FM here in Huntsville, the beautiful campus of Oakwood University. And we're glad to have WJOU as our producing partner for this podcast. I'm David Person, and Paula and Curtis Akins are here with us today, and so glad to have them with us. Welcome to the Healthy Alabama podcast. Yes.
Thank you for having us. Yes. It's a pleasure being here, David.
It's good to have you here. So both of you, I think, for many people in North Alabama, and actually because of the work you've done on television around the nation and maybe even the world, because I don't know, I think you've been on satellite television, right?
So yeah, well, Three Angels Broadcasting Network is a worldwide network.
Okay, yeah. So then around the world have come to know you for the work that you do in the area of health. Curtis is a naturopathic doctor. Mm-hmm. And Paula, you are a breast cancer survivor, but you also are
a nutritionist.
Mm-hmm. And so this journey of health and wellness has been part of both of your lives for many years. And you've been doing lots of things through media. And I know you've done a lot of live events, and you've got another live event coming up in May here in North Alabama called Controlling Cancer Conference. That title alone to me is intriguing, because it seems to me that if there's anything that science and medicine has yet been able to control, is cancer, people getting cancer, and the spread of it. So you have the audacity, Curtis, to call this Controlling Cancer Conference. Why?
Now you can put it on me.
Yeah,
because it's Curtis. Yeah. Because you know it didn't come from Paula. It came from me. Okay.
Well,
that's
okay. I put the bad stuff on you and the good stuff on Paula.
We can roll with it. You know, David, but Controlling Cancer Conference, or of course, I try to go with the C's, all letters the same. All right. Cancer, we all have cancer in our bodies. Let me say that one more time. Everybody has cancer cells in our bodies.
Okay.
I got the frown on his forehead.
But before you go further, so I need to ponder that. So you're saying that we're born with cancer cells in our bodies, or they develop?
No, we're born with cancer cells in our bodies.
And that's a scientific fact.
Right. So because we're born in sin, anything that has a liver is going to have cancer cells in the tissues in the body.
So that's a scientific fact.
Yes.
Science is so little babies have cancer cells in their body.
Yes. We all do. Now the question is, and I think the frown on your face is, well, if that's the case, why not everybody get cancer? Well, there's a lot of factors involved with that. We're dealing with the immune system, dealing with genetics, dealing with environments, how we can simply keep cancer under control so that they do not develop and become cancer in the body as a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And that's what this cancer is all about, or this conference is all about. Controlling cancer, because we all have it. We want to keep it in control so it does not manifest where we become have a diagnosis.
Okay. So, you know, I have what I would call a critical, skeptical mind.
Okay.
Now, I'm not doubting what you're saying about us all being born with cancer. If that's scientifically established, I accept that. But my question is, how is it that you think it's possible to actually, because now, if I'm misstating what you're saying, Curtis, correct me, but it sounds like you're saying it's actually possible for us to ensure that we do not develop cancer.
No.
That's not what you said.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the reason why I said no, because you used the word insure.
Okay.
We cannot guarantee that we won't get cancer.
Okay.
It's like wearing a seatbelt. If I wear a seatbelt and get into an accident, that seatbelt does not guarantee I will not get hurt. Mm. It only reduces the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have gotten hurt. Some people actually die in an accident while wearing a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about in this cancer conference, it's like wearing a seatbelt, how we can reduce the risk of getting cancer. And once you have cancer, how to control it by putting on that seatbelt. That's what we can talk about, lifestyle modifications.
Okay, I like that. That's a great analogy. Mm-hmm. And Paula, as a cancer survivor yourself, I think you said 13 years?
This year will be 13 years.
And you're looking good, too, honey.
Cancer Thank free. You.
I just thought I'd throw that in.
Okay.
Trying to get brownie points.
I know,
later.
He's trying. Yeah. He's trying.
Any chance I get, man. Any chance I get. 25 years, I'm counting.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I hear you. So you're a cancer survivor, 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
You had, what kind of cancer did you have?
Breast cancer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you were... I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you were probably, your profile would be healthier than the average person, right?
Yeah.
But, before you were diagnosed with cancer, right?
Yes.
Weren't you vegetarian?
Vegetarian.
Okay. Yeah. And you were pretty health conscious, right?
Very health conscious.
Okay.
I need to add more, mostly vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly vegan.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had to add that part. Basically, it's basically vegan.
Basically
for the most
vegan.
Part.
Okay. So you didn't, not only did you not eat meat, but you didn't eat dairy products or eggs.
No milk, no egg, no cheese, no meat.
So then you were vegan.
Yeah.
Okay. So were you surprised when you were diagnosed with cancer?
Yes. I think everybody, when you hear that word, automatically you kind of like, say what? You know, you kind of take a back seat to it. But I think that for me to hear it, and then to try to just kind of sit there for a moment and think about what was being said, and then what the prognosis as far as the treatment, everything was concerned, what they wanted to do, that made me even sit back more because it was more than just a lumpectomy. We were talking about, you know, full-blown stage 3 cancer, stage 2, stage 2B cancer. And then they right away wanted to go ahead and just start to work right up. And so I had to take a, I always tell people now, I always take a deep breath when you hear things. Just step back and breathe for a moment. Because when you act on something right away, you might make a mistake. So for me, it was just a matter of just diagnosing or sitting back, not diagnosing, but just listening to what the doctors had said to me and then saying, let me think through this first. Because they were already right away saying what they needed to do as of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, let's hold up a moment. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I sat back and thought about it, we went back home and we prayed about it. And then I had to give them the answer. And so I asked a lot of questions. And I think that's the one thing that happens with people when you're diagnosed, not just with cancer, but any disease, is that we get worked up and we need to stop for a moment, take a deep breath. And then look at what are all my options.
Right. But I want to come back to something because I think this is important. You were vegan.
Uh-huh.
You'd been vegan, I'm assuming, for a fair number of years.
Yeah.
You were living a healthy lifestyle. No smoking, no drinking. You were exercising. You're doing all the stuff that we're supposed to do, getting rest, drinking a lot of water. And yet you develop breast cancer.
Well, you know, the thing is, once again, we go back to what Curtis said. If we think that no matter what we do or we walk the line of exactly all these different things that people say are going to happen and something happens to us, people get worked up over it. But the bottom line for me was that walking through the whole process I went through and my lifestyle actually became a bonus to me. Because even after I had wound up having to have major surgery and everything, within that next day, I was home. Within that night, I was shopping.
Oh, really? Wait.
Oh, yeah.
The day after?
After surgery.
The surgery.
Uh-huh.
And they removed the lump.
No.
We're talking mastectomy.
We talking, yeah.
Oh, you said mastectomy. I'm sorry. I missed that part.
Yes.
Okay. So after the day after a mastectomy, you're shopping?
Yes. I had to go get me some groceries and stuff. my fruit and my vegetables.
Why didn't you send old boy over
here? He was there with me. But I wasn't sick, though. I wasn't sick. As a matter of fact, after the surgery, the very next day, the doctor came in a room around 12 noon that Saturday, and he said, Ms. Akins, you're fine. All your signs are normal. He said, but I can say this to you. Had it not been for your lifestyle, this would have taken a different turn.
Wow.
Okay. And the following day, we resumed our 10,000 step walking program.
He kept doing what we were doing.
But let me say this. She's going to reveal her whole story. 10,000 steps a day.
Yes.
She's going to reveal her whole unique story at the conference.
And it is unique.
It's PowerPoint. It's unique. I mean, it's really unique. It's not just a typical story.
You already told me you weren't going to tell me everything today.
No.
He has a way of getting things out.
Yeah, he's trying.
I know that. And I knew it. He still got me.
but also be inquisitive enough of what you're saying. Yeah. It's the same thing other people say. And the thing is that I think after a year or a couple of years, and most people said, there's no way that girl's going to make it because that's some other part of the story. Mm. She's not going to make it. And yet now the longer I'm out here and they find out what I did, they're like, wait a minute. Maybe we ought to think about what she actually did because she's still here.
Let me add one more thing. As you're talking, I know what people are saying. Okay, wait a minute. Lifestyle, vegan, exercise, drinking water, rest, that kind of thing. Oh, it must be genetics.
Mm.
So we looked at that. Three generations deep.
Okay.
There's no breast or cervical ovarian cancer because it's the same genetic disposition. There's nothing in her family line with that. We even talked to a genetic counselor at Clearview Cancer Institute. She says, genetic testing doesn't even warrant in your case. So we can rule that out, too.
Mm.
Her being diagnosed with cancer, David, is the best thing that ever happened to our 20-plus year health ministry. The best thing that ever happened to our 20-plus year ministry. Because when she was diagnosed with cancer, it opened up a whole new door of now. It's the reason why we're doing this cancer conference. We did it in Barbados last year. Mm-hmm. We did it in Albuquerque a few months ago. We're bringing it to Huntsville. Because when you hear the word cancer, it's like a death sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike diabetes or heart disease, it's the only disease in which they give you poison to try to cure it.
Well, you know, I've heard that, our friend, our mutual friend, in fact, she's a sister to me, Donna Green Goodman.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
We've had this conversation about the toxicity of the medicines and the treatments.
Mm-hmm.
You say that people should not opt for that, or do you say that they should opt for that?
We say neither.
Okay.
Honey, you take that one.
I always tell people that our position is that I made a promise that each day that I live my life, anyone that comes and needs to talk, I'm a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a mentor. I'm there to actually support and be there with a person, but not to give them an answer.
Okay.
My thing is that you need to make your own decision up. And for me, it was my decision that I went and prayed about, and the Lord said no.
Mm-hmm.
And then remember now, I also had gotten all these questions together for my doctors, my surgeon, and my oncologist to ask them the prognosis and what could I expect from the cocktail or all the different things I was going to be getting. And so when they began to tell me what that could be, that made me make a difference. I just say to people, get all your information.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow them. The word cancer is a scary word, but conqueror is also a wonderful word, and Christ is even a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was that don't let the word cancer scare you.
Right, right. You know? So I know Donna opted not to. Donna did not do chemo, as I recall.
Yes.
I think she did radiation. She did some radiation. I don't even think she did all of her radiation treatment.
I think she finished the radiation.
No.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then she opted not to do any chemo. And she has been cancer-free for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're now in year 13.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have another friend who you may know. I know Donna knows her. Micah Logan, who is a very well-known radio personality up here in North Alabama. She was diagnosed with breast cancer in her 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been cancer-free for, I think, 5 years, 6 years, or maybe longer than that now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's longer than that now. But she opted to do everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is, as you say, it's a personal choice. It's an individual choice, and different people are led to do different things. So the toxicity of the medicine and the treatment is a concern. Are there any other concerns you have about cancer treatments?
That's the main concern. Now, what we're saying in the conference is going to be evidence-based information.
Mm-hmm. Science.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Science, clinical studies published in peer-reviewed medical journals. Mm-hmm. Underscore peer-reviewed mm-hmm. medical journals.
Which is key.
Right.
Yeah, that's key.
And so we'll offer that information. And this is nothing new. I mean, the top, by the U.S. News and World Report, the top three cancer hospitals in the nation have a department on alternative of natural medicine.
Mm-hmm.
The top three. Number one, MD Anderson. Number two, Memorial Sloan Kettering. Number three, Mayo Clinic. So what we're saying is nothing new. The top hospitals in this nation is moving this right because of the demand of the people, because of the side effects of the chemotherapy drugs. We're going to be talking about non-poisonous chemotherapy.
So give us
and there's such a word.
Right. So give us an example. I know you don't want to reveal too much because you want people to come to the conference, mm-hmm. and I respect that. But you got to give us one, Curtis. You got to give us one tidbit. So what's an example of a non-toxic cancer treatment?
You did it to me years ago. You're doing it to me. And I'm going to fall for this. But only way home, I'm going to hate myself.
Just one.
Okay. I'll give one that you can get at any grocery store. This is clinically sound. This is one of the things that we I wrote a book. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things that we did for over 1 year. And her test scores came back, her lab reports came back, and at the 11th month, our oncologist said, you are cancer-free, is garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mm-hmm. people say, oh, garlic, my breath is going to smell. No, the way we did it, it was no smell, but to also get the medicinal properties of the garlic by what we did with the garlic.
Okay, and it's very clear to me the way you're phrasing that you're not going to tell me what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but at least I told you the food.
But you told us the food.
I'm surprised you even got that much out of it. But garlic is known to actually cause cancer cells to commit suicide. Hmm. The word is apoptosis. Apoptosis. That means cell suicide death. Mm-hmm. Garlic has properties in that that can cause that to take place. And that was one of the many things that we did from a natural standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about how to do that, and then also the juicing and other things as well. And also other herbal medicine, botanical medicine that's known clinically to also kill cancer cells in the different phases of cancer.
I'm actually finishing up a study from the Cancer Society where they actually had me in a study where there I had to plant a garden, vegetable garden, with all the cancer-fighting foods. I had to work the garden. I had to eat from the garden. So the American Cancer Society is now looking at what are the possibilities of fruits and vegetables as it relates to cancer.
Wow. That's wow. That's big.
That's real big. For the Cancer Society, oh, it is.
The state of Alabama is the only state in this nation now has that program. It's a grant. Just came out last year. So she's one of the ones that has that. And it's been really remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about soy and cancer. You know, that's a hot topic, soy. Should you eat soy? Because, you know, soy there's studies out there about soy and cancer, breast cancer. We're going to be emphasizing two cancers in particular, breast and prostate.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah, my father died of prostate
cancer. And most men, that's a cancer you die with. Not from.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are heart disease is going to take us out.
That's exactly what my father was saying to, I guess he was saying to people in our family, mm-hmm. that he opted not to undergo any radical treatment because mm-hmm. he felt like something else would take him out. Now, what actually happened was the prostate cancer metastasized.
Mm-hmm.
So even though prostate cancer technically didn't take him out, it was cancer that, you know, had spread from his prostate mm-hmm. that took him out.
Right.
So, I still question whether or not he should have done more than what he did. But I think you're right. Under, especially if you're at a certain age, mm-hmm. it's more likely that something else will get you before the prostate.
Yeah, it's going to be heart disease. 250,000 mm-hmm. Prostate cancer men die about 40,000. I mean, mm-hmm. the numbers are not even close. You know, it's like playing Russian roulette. Mm-hmm. 1 in 6. Put a bullet in the chamber, spin it, click. Spin it, click. It's 1 in 6 get prostate cancer. That's the national average. Now, David, African-Americans, it's 1 in 4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be talking about those two in particular, but we're going to touch on leukemia and also colon cancer as well.
What is your thought about that? I mean, you know, when you as an African-American man, I'm an African-American man, mm-hmm. when you hear a statistic like that and you see a statistical discrepancy like mm-hmm. that, what's your thought? What's your explanation? You're a naturopathic doctor. Mm-hmm. What do you think the reason is that black men are more predisposed to developing prostate cancer than white men or the larger population?
Okay, several things. Number one, their diet is usually not as good as other individuals as far as that's concerned. Our diet intake, particularly in the South, is a disproportionate higher rate of cancer, prostate cancer in the South than any place else in the country. That's number one. Number two, health care. May not have access to health care. Low income people just don't need to go and get a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking public service announcement.
Right.
Okay, because one guy says, public service announcement? No, we need to talk. So they don't do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd rather watch a football game than to have a person put their finger up their behind. That's
right.
Just
the digital rectal exam.
Yeah, digital right. rectal exam, yeah. All right? Mm-hmm. So at the age of 50, you know, mm-hmm. you need to start having that in a PSA.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my
the
first
PSA,
one.
I can't remember. What does that stand for?
Prostate-specific antigen.
Right.
So it's
right.
a part of something in the blood that determines whether or not your prostate is cancerous.
Mm-hmm.
If it's suspicious, if it's over the number of 4 or higher, that's suspicious.
Right.
And then they do a biopsy to confirm that.
Right.
And so
now, I've also heard that there's some debate about whether or not you even still need the digital rectal exam.
Okay, yeah. I do it every year at the Madison County facility in Huntsville.
Mm-hmm.
Free of charge.
But again, I'm saying there's still discussion about, is that really what you need, or do you just need the blood test?
The PSA? Yeah, let me explain that. Okay, so the digital rectal exam, the finger cannot feel the entire prostate, mm-hmm. about 3/4. So it's missing 1/4.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as accurate, about maybe 80% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
The PSA is over 95% accurate,
because right.
you're dealing with the blood.
Right.
So I always opt the digital and take the PSA test. And I look at my numbers, and I look at my numbers every 2 years, every year. I've been taking it for the last, since I was 51, and I'm still in the 0.2 range.
Mm-hmm. But and that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yes.
Now, but again, you're saying, it sounds as though you're confirming what I'm hearing, which is that the blood test is more accurate.
It is.
And
no
so
question, it is
what's
more
the
accurate.
Benefit of doing that? Because, you know, most guys, we don't want that, as you just said. We
true.
Don't want that digital rectal
that's true.
Exam.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, okay, now, but remember now, it's like 95, give or take, accurate, the PSA. That can be a high false number if stress is involved or if the prostate is inflamed, prostatitis.
Hmm.
So, because of that, then you may want to have two to go with. It's mm-hmm. always best to have two tests than to just put all your marbles into one test.
Okay.
So outside of that, personally, I opt for the PSA because it is more accurate.
Okay.
Yes.
There was something else you said that I want both of you to address, and especially Paula, you as a nutritionist, and that is diet.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about diet, Curtis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's get into some specifics here before we run out of time. What is dangerous? What makes us more cancer prone? Or what makes a person who consumes a soul food or southern diet more cancer prone?
I'm not sure whether you can just answer that in one kind of way. I know for sure we know that a diet that's really high in saturated fats and very, very high in meat consumption, because these products have antibodies, antibiotics and other things in them. So it's not just the pure food. So with that in mind, then when you're taking those foods in, you're also taking in the antibiotics. You're also taking in any kind of added thing that's been given to that animal.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. is also being given to you as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that just increases your chances of actually getting a cancer.
Well, now I know there's a school of thought out there, and Donna and I have had this conversation. There's a school of thought out there that says that meat itself is carcinogenic.
Absolutely.
Remember, all animals have a liver. So if you eat something that has carcinogens in them, which flesh animals have, then you're actually eating meat that's carcinogenic.
And then
therefore, any yeah. animal you eat, either runs, fly, wiggles, swim, jump, or hop, it's a carcinogen flesh in its mm-hmm. tissues.
And then on top of that, if you
yes.
if okay. you grill yes. the meat
at high temperatures, it increases the carcinogens in flesh food based on how it's cooked.
Well, it's also the charring of
yeah,
the meat.
Right.
That's right.
That's supposed
right.
to be carcinogenic
yeah.
also.
It's called it's 10 cancer-causing compounds, heterocyclic amines, HCA, heterocyclic amines. When meat is charbroiled or high temperatures, it increases the carcinogens in the flesh. So now it's even more objectionable than just cooking it in any other way other than charbroiled.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, now you're compounding the situation with that as well. And we're going to talk about some healthy alternatives to that where people can enjoy some products that is not carcinogenic, but also it can satisfy the taste, the palate, and the good mouthfeel. And we talk about that, and also have a little short cooking video as well. So it's going to be really educational. They come in, they're going to get a folder, handout, worksheet, Q&A, and we talk about cancer pain, how to reduce the pain of cancer that works better than marijuana, that is legal.
Works better than marijuana.
Yes, and that is legal. So it's going to be a 3-hour cancer conference. It's going to be packed with information.
Our main thing is the education.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're down on what you're not up on. Our main thing is to educate. So try to bring awareness to other things that are going on, other options that we have available to us. Because everything has other options other than just what you think you're supposed to do.
Well, all right. It looks like you're going to have a very interesting conference, Controlling Cancer Conference. Mm-hmm. This is going to be on May the 18th, which is a Saturday, from 3 to 6 p.m. And you're doing this in Huntsville at the Spring Hill Suites Marriott. Now, I'm trying to remember, where is that?
Okay, the post office, you can see it as you go down South Parkway. Downtown post office, around the corner from Embassy Suites.
Okay,
yeah.
So the downtown.
To the library.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think there's another Spring Hill Suites here, too.
Yeah, but this is the only one in downtown Huntsville.
Right, downtown Huntsville.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so the downtown Spring Hill Suites in Huntsville, and people can register at adventsource.org?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or they can call 800-732-7587?
That's correct.
All right.
And it's free and open to the public.
Oh, it's free?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, we do accept donations, but yeah.
It's free.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's free and open to the public.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So we have the ballroom. This is our second year. Last year we did heart disease. This year's cancer. And so we got the ballroom there, and we're going to pack in as many as we can till we run out of room.
Controlling Cancer Conference, May the 18th, from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Spring Hill Suites. Downtown Huntsville, the Spring Hill Suites Marriott, downtown Huntsville. For more information, you can call 800-732-7587 or visit this website, adventsource.org. That's ADVENT, source.org. And most importantly, and I'd missed that when you texted me the flyer, I don't know how I missed that. Free.
Free.
And open to the public. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But they must register. Yeah.
But they've got to register. Yeah.
When you go on the website, adventsource.org, it has a list of several events. You click on to events, just scan down and see the Controlling Cancer Conference in Huntsville.
Paula Akins, Curtis Akins, thank you.
Yes,
this is
thank
great.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure. Really appreciate what you all are trying to do in this community and outside of this community. People need to hear this. They need to know this. And they need to factor this into their lives.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for having us, David.
All right. The Healthy Alabama Podcast is sponsored by AIDS Alabama, based in Birmingham, and is produced in partnership with WJOU, Colquitt University Radio Praise 90.1 FM here in North Alabama. I'm David Person, host and producer. Our theme music was produced by my man DJ Bailey at the mixing board doing his thing. Until next time, be healthy.